Divorce. For most of you, it's been a rotten experience, and it still may be so. For others, you're very happy to be out of a bad situation. But the fact remains that you are now alone. It seems easy when we marry and change I to we. But when you must return to I, it can be a painful ordeal of readjustment. On a scientific scale of readjustment, the disaster of a spouse's death leads the list, and divorce comes in second. This compares with the trauma of a term in jail, which ranks fourth in the poll of emotional crisis. So if you're taking it hard, you're normal. Divorce is actually surgery of the mind and spirit, and therefore the body. You should know that the healing will take at least a full year. Some people begin emerging from the cocoon in short as 3 months period of time, but that's only the beginning. There are ups and downs, some good days and lots of bad days, before you truly begin to soar on new wings. If you are average, you won't feel reborn until the first year has gone by. There are many moods that you can expect during this first year. Being aware that they are normal and to be expected makes them easier to handle. You can anticipate or may have already experienced some of these things. You may find that you can't concentrate on anything. You may feel terribly sorry for yourself and think of all those years you wasted. You may cry a lot, sometimes for no apparent reason. You may feel as if you wander through the days in a vacuum. Perhaps you can't sleep, or you may sleep too much and try to block out all that is happening. You may feel abandoned. Your appetite may be shot, and you may even have nausea. Feelings of guilt may be haunting you, either because you feel you made a terrible mistake to have picked that person for a spouse, or because the marriage failed, regardless of whose fault it is. It's the thought of failure that gets to you. You probably talk to your friends endlessly about your divorce, and you're especially bitter if your ex is involved with another person. Perhaps you thought about taking a trip, but then discarded the idea of traveling alone. You may find that the time of day you usually spend together is excruciating. That's when the loneliness really hits you. Your home may mean little to you now, and you've become unconcerned with its appearance. At the checkout line at the supermarket, you may feel acutely conscious of how little you have in your shopping cart, and meals alone are empty and unsatisfying. Sleeping alone may be unbearable. It's not only the absence of sex, but there's no one next to you. It's like being somewhere out in space. There are very few of us who, at the moment of separation, don't have some strong feelings about what could have been rather than what actually was. The what-ifs color reflections of the past. If only I'd been a better wife, or if he would have acted differently, or if we would have tried a little harder, it could have worked. We worry about our future and trading what we know for what we don't know. We ask ourselves so many questions. Do I have the ability to support myself financially? Can I be an effective single parent? After being on an intense, intimate level, how can I now establish a detached social and business relationship with this person? Do I want to get back to the dating game? The final decree is really not final, but instead the beginning of a different set of challenges. The momentary exhilaration of freedom may suddenly turn to feelings of aloneness, confusion, and self-doubt. So how do you cope? At the very beginning, let it go. Feel sorry for yourself. Cry if it makes you feel better. You are going through a rough time and deserve a lot of self-pampering. But there will eventually come a time when you no longer need to feel sorry for yourself and when you no longer need to cry. That's the time to stop pampering yourself and get on with the life ahead of you. Concentrate on the certainty that you are going to rise above all of this. Divorce can be a beginning, not an end. Marriage made you immobile. Divorce is your opportunity to gather yourself together, and from this comes self-esteem. Be patient with yourself, but at the same time, take steps to uplift your spirit. First of all, get out of the house. Sitting and staring at the same four walls day in and day out is terrible for your morale. When you feel yourself sinking into a depressed mood, get up, get dressed, and get out quick before you change your mind. Take in a movie, preferably a comedy. Browse through a bookstore. Wander through a park. In an hour or two, your outlook on the world should have changed for the better. Please yourself. You've put in enough time trying to please your spouse. Now you are number one, so treat yourself that way. It isn't selfish, it's sensible. You know by now that you can't please everyone all of the time. You can finally ask yourself, what about me? If you do things to make yourself happy, you'll gain self-respect and look at yourself with new value. You need friends now more than ever. Treasure them and nurture your friendships. Worries and fears seem much less threatening when talking about them cuts them down to size. A friend will be able to help you put things in perspective. Maybe you will find yourself laughing at a shared joke, your upset forgotten. Even if this doesn't happen, you should feel a sense of relief at having connected with someone who cares. Sometimes a friend will tell you off when you need it. If you are fretting over nothing, it may snap you out of it when your friend tells you so in no uncertain terms. Force yourself to spend time with people. Sitting alone can get anybody down. If you are with people, you won't be able to brood. Getting together with friends can be excellent medicine. But like medicine, you may have to force yourself to take it. Even if you are convinced that you want nothing more than to withdraw and isolate yourself, when a friend calls with an invitation, say yes. It's important to open up new vistas, and for this you need an open mind. Be willing to accept new people, new experiences, and ideas. When you talk with new people, use the trick of journalists who interview others. Don't stop at, what do you do? Ask people why. Ask them how. You'll be surprised at the communication this technique inspires. Go out. Go to lectures, civic meetings, concerts, museums, the park. Don't be nervous about being alone. At first you may think that you really stand out, but in actuality, few people even notice that you are alone. It's the same when you have a head cold and think that you look awful and that you are offensive. The truth is that most people don't even notice. The first time you go anywhere alone, you have made the first step, and it's a giant step. Find time to do things for others. The world is full of loneliness, and you take the edge off of your own when you relieve someone else's. More than that, if you've made others happy, you are happy. Release your anger. Slam a door, preferably one without glass panes. Throw some pillows. Even better, play golf or racquetball or tennis and enjoy yourself as you destroy frustration by whacking a ball. Do something active to rev up your whole system. Many mental health professionals feel that active sports, such as jogging, running, and biking, have a physiological as well as a psychological effect. Walking is also recommended. A brisk walk clears the mind of cobwebs, stimulates circulation, and makes life seem a whole lot brighter. And it gives you time to adjust. Recognize that change is the order of life. Psychologists say that every life has cycles of change and that no one ever gets through it without at least one major emotional upheaval. No one's life is safe and secure. Realize that you will go through three stages in the healing process of the first year. The first is shock, and it takes a while to shed. This evolves into anger, and once you've given a vent to this, you will find acceptance. When acceptance is achieved, then serenity will begin. Develop a sense of humor, for this is the very best support given to us to get through life. If you can see the funny side of any situation, you'll take yourself less seriously. And taking yourself too seriously is a trap for all who are newly divorced. If you have a faith, lean on it. After all, that's what it's there for. It will reassure you that there is a higher power available for you to tap into. Like yourself. After all, you've spent a great deal of time giving to someone else you've loved. Once you can tell yourself that you are a decent and likable human being, you will find it easier to like other people. And once again, you'll be able to trust others. All of these are things that you should do. Now we'll give you some don'ts, which are every bit as important. Don't brood. The past is over. Don't make any major decisions for a while, such as selling the house or going into debt for something you don't really need. Don't acquire any bad habits. Don't let your living environment or yourself go to pot. You've hit bottom, especially if it was your spouse who chose the divorce, and you're a prime target for self-destruction. Don't entertain negative thoughts about yourself. Don't be inert. Never again will you have such freedom to choose for yourself and to forge ahead with your life. Don't go on a diet, at least not yet. You're in no shape to deprive yourself of anything right now. Don't dwell on if I had, if he had. As we said, the past is over and you cannot relive it. Don't bore your friends with your woes. Too much of this can alienate even the best friends, for everyone has their own troubles. If you have one close friend, you can spill it all out to them. But watch their eyes. When they glaze over, they've heard enough. After a few months, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You may not know it yet, but the truth is that you are now free to be your own person. It sounds trite, but don't forget to count your blessings. If you need some help with this, we'll count some for you. Nobody's there to criticize you. If you crave an onion and ketchup sandwich at 3 a.m., you can have it. You can choose your own movies, TV shows, and your own quiet. You can spend money in the way that you wish. You can wear what you like. You can generate friendships with people that your ex did not like. You don't have to explain your thoughts, your deeds, or your motives. You can make your own decisions. Perhaps this is difficult at first, but in time you'll treasure the freedom. It is most important that you make up your mind to forgive. Until you do, the green worm of gall will be buried deep inside of you. Some people ask, why should I forgive? And they assume that forgiving is letting the other guy off the hook, allowing him to be right, and giving in to him. What they don't realize is that forgiveness never has anything to do with the other person. It is simply a way of getting over the past and ensuring that we won't create the same situation again. Just what is this resentment that we feel? Where does it come from? Webster defines it as a feeling of bitter hurt or indignation from a sense of being injured and offended. Stifled anger turns into resentment that not only affects your physical and mental well-being, but also predetermines new relationships. Resentment is negative feelings held in the present for something that happened in the past. What happened yesterday may no longer apply to your life today. The person that you feel created that emotion in you may not be the same person anymore, and neither are you the same. Resentment keeps us under the control of whoever or whatever we resent. Resentment locks us into a sequence of act and response, anger and revenge. Each time we think of the person we feel has wronged us, we react in some negative way that is harmful to our well-being. The only way out of resentment is through forgiveness and through releasing the past. To forgive is to cease to feel the resentment against an offender. Sometimes we deny our resentments, although it may be that we just buried it. Many times we have thought that we have no resentment and became righteous and martyr-like in saying, I'm a good person and above that sort of unworthy feeling. But if we pay attention to our words and our physical sensations when we speak of a particular person or incident in our past, we may discover some intense feelings. When you are convinced that someone hurt you in the past, you may fear that another person will do the same thing in the future. You start to think people are not trustworthy and become fearful of making any new commitments. You may say, every time I fall in love, I get hurt. This kind of thinking will prevent you from creating healthy relationships despite the opportunities and willingness on your part. If you enter a new relationship with any judgments held over from the last one, you will recreate the former one again and again. Problems keep coming up because they give you an opportunity to handle them in a new way in order to move on. Personal unfinished business cannot be resolved by another. If you are holding on to resentment toward anyone, you are stuck. You will find another person who will treat you the same way And ultimately, your relationship is destined to be a repeat of the last one. Because we always go back to what is familiar. We keep creating with each new person the same situation. 3 steps are necessary to stop that vicious circle of love, intimacy, disappointment, and resentment. First of all, complete the relationship. Tell the other person everything that you have not been willing to say before. Tell the truth about your feelings, coming from a stance of I, not you. Own up to your own part in the problem. In place of saying, "You always yell at me," it's, "When you get angry, I feel scared." Rather than, "You're always breaking your promises," it's, "When you don't keep your promise, I feel hurt." The second step is to release the other person. Give up your attachment to the form of the relationship. This kind of honesty can convert a torrid love affair into a lifelong friendship. But be ready to accept that the other person may not respond at all. The third step is to recontext all your relationships. Be honest from the start about your expectations, giving the other person the freedom to be and do what he wishes to, and keep the lines of communication clear. Handle each little minor irritation as it comes up, not later when it's blown out of proportion and out of context. It could be that the personal disappointments you have gone through are only indications that there is something better waiting for you. If you keep thinking about the past, you cannot move on to something better. Think of what you could be doing more productively with your time to nurture yourself and plan for your own future. How much better off could you be by working on that one person that you have control over in your life? And that's you. If you're spending hours thinking about how it was and about your ex-mate, you are giving him control over your life and your happiness. By thinking about him, you are reminding yourself that he was the only source of your good, and without him or another man, you can do nothing. You need to bring yourself out of these thoughts in order to make positive decisions about your life. You may not associate certain challenges in your life with hidden resentments. However, they could be what is holding you back from joy, prosperity, success, and good feelings. If you can't really define why your life isn't exactly the way you want it to be, it may be you are ready to deal with forgiveness at all levels. Have you ever said, "Won't I ever learn?" Or, "I did it again. Why do I keep doing that?" These questions show us how we keep beating ourselves up mentally for not being all we can be. We often begin by making other people the villains. Instead of admitting, "I did it. Now how can I learn from it?" we sometimes try to put the guilt on others. Having been punished in the past, we get the idea that we should never make a mistake. But we are born to make mistakes. That's the only way in which we learn. There's nothing wrong with making an error in judgment. Research is based on eliminating all of the mistakes first to get to the solution. If you can get them all out of the way, you will arrive at the answer. Jet planes are off course almost 90% of the time. The crew monitors the instruments and makes corrections accordingly, and they still arrive at their planned destination. Once you understand that there are no enemies but yourself, the only choice you have is to accept others for who they are. Once you understand that everything and everyone in your life is a reflection of you, you will also understand that by placing any restrictions or expectations on anyone else, you are placing the same restrictions on yourself. We all have a tendency to promise to do things forever, even though we have no concept of how long forever can be. Have you ever said, "I promise I'll be good, God, if you'll let me out of this one"? For how long after you get a speeding ticket do you drive carefully? Forever? Relationships can work the same way. In looking at our lives before a significant relationship, we want it so much that we will promise just about anything, and we mean our promises at the time. Isn't it interesting that later we rarely think of the promises we made? Instead, we think only of the promises made to us that were broken. How long does true love last? That's an impossible question. When we're in love, we feel it's forever. But as most of us have found out in the real world, instead of in movies, magazines, and novels, the question is not how long love lasts, but what we do with it while it lasts. Although we may have little control over duration, we are in charge of the quality of the experience day by day. Ask yourself, what are you willing to do to nurture that love each moment? Love is a seed that requires daily attention and care in order to fully blossom. When we set up the love is forever syndrome, we are totally devastated when it doesn't turn out that way. We can experience a tremendous sense of loss, and our first reaction after the shock is anger that the other person did not live up to our expectations. Those expectations may be the ones they can't keep. Of course you feel angry when they don't live up to your promises. But when will you become willing to accept how unrealistic the promises were? Why not take a look at the gifts you received from your ex? Perhaps you're thinking, but I gave it all. There were no gifts for me. Not true. You may not be willing to look for them, but they are there. If you truly want to move past your resentment and anger, you must begin the search. Was there anything he taught you that you could not have learned otherwise? Did you form any long-lasting friendships as a result of your marriage? What about your children? If your mate was cold and abusive, maybe your lesson was to see how warm and loving you are. Realizing who you don't want to be is also a gift. And maybe the divorce was the greatest gift of all. You now get to experience yourself as a whole person, with talents and abilities you never knew you possessed. Step out of the shadow of fear, and instead of being angry over what you think you lost, be grateful for what you have found, for you have found yourself. On this side of the tape, we will integrate and apply the principles and information that you heard on the other side of the tape. Before we begin, a word of caution is in order. As this is a relaxation tape, never play this tape in a moving automobile or at any time when you wish to maintain full awakening consciousness. Now find yourself in a comfortable position, either sitting or lying down, and begin by taking a long, slow, deep breath in through your nose. Hold the breath. Allow your eyes to close normally and naturally, and exhale all the air from your body in a long, low, deep sigh, and let go. Again, take a second, long, slow, deep breath in through your nose and hold. This time as you exhale, slowly count from 8 to 1 and let go even more. Let go now. In the future, you will be able to relax totally and completely, consciously and unconsciously, merely by taking a long, slow, deep breath in through your nose, holding the breath to the mental count of 4, and then exhaling all the air from your body in a long, low, deep sigh. I want you to imagine with me now that you find yourself out in nature. It is a beautiful day, and the sun is warm and directly above you. There's a gentle breeze moving across your body, and the sky is blue. A few wispy clouds just gently float by. Now you may find yourself on a beach, or a grassy knoll, a desert, or a mountaintop. Wherever you are, I want you to find yourself in tune with the world around you. Become aware of the sounds of the day and the smells, and let go. Now, in the event of an emergency, while playing this or any other relaxation tape, you would automatically come to full awakening consciousness, and regardless of what was going on around you or required your attention, you would be able to handle it easily and effortlessly and logically. So relax, release, and let go, and find yourself drifting deeper and deeper, more and more relaxed. Focus the light from the sun now over your right arm, just like you would focus a flashlight, and move it slowly from the tips of your fingers to your shoulder. Move it back and forth, up and down. You can feel the warmth from the sun penetrating your skin and your muscles and your nerves and your bones, and you can feel yourself drifting deeper and deeper, more and more relaxed. As you bring the light from the sun now to your left arm and from the tips of your fingers to your shoulder, back and forth, you can feel the warmth penetrating your skin and your muscles and your nerves and your bones, and you find yourself going deeper and deeper still, letting go with each word and with each breath. Now move the light from the sun to your right leg and from your toes to your hip. I want you to move it back and forth, up and down, until you can actually experience the light penetrating your skin and warming your muscles and your nerves, and you can feel the pressures and the tensions just falling away from your body. What an incredible feeling of peace and relaxation. Drifting, moving down deeper and deeper, more and more relaxed. You move the light gently now. Move it to your left leg and from your toes to your hip. Move it back and forth, up and down, and you can feel that left leg relaxing. And you feel yourself going down deeper and deeper and deeper still. As the light from the sun moves into your stomach, all your organs and systems, indeed the very cells and atoms of the lower part of your body, respond to the light from the sun and relax. And you find yourself drifting deeper and deeper, more and more relaxed. The light from the sun now moves into your chest, and your breathing becomes deeper and more relaxed, and you find yourself letting go more and more, because repeated exposure to this and any other positive recording produces incredible results within you. You desire this, and it is so. Move the light from the sun. Move it into your body through the top of your head, and then let it move all the way down the spine until it touches your tailbone. And then let the energy move out through the nerves of your body to heal and to revitalize. If at this time there is any organ, any system, any nerve of your body that may not be functioning as it should, I say this to you, that every organ, every system, indeed every nerve is to heal and is to function as it should. Relax your neck and your shoulder, your scalp. Relax your scalp. Your forehead is relaxing. Relax your forehead. And then the little muscles around your eyes. Relaxing the little muscles around your eyes. Your cheeks relax. Your jaw relaxes and it opens slightly. And if you find saliva in your mouth, you swallow it, and it takes you down deeper and deeper, more and more relaxed. Now to relax, you'll count the numbers from 8 to 1, and the numbers will have the following additional meanings for you. Number 8, go deeper and deeper, for 8 means to relax mentally and physically, consciously and unconsciously, from your toes to your head, as you bring the light from the sun down into your body, and you can feel it warm, revitalize, and heal your body. 7. You know that you have much more willpower, self-control, all that you will ever need. 6. Deeper now. Your mind is in charge of your body. 5. You have freed yourself from the past influences that once had control of your life. 4. 4 means to you that you are a much more relaxed, much more easygoing, a happier, more contented person. 3. You have much more satisfaction now than at any time in the past. 2. The light from the sun is warm and really strong within your body. It is healing. It is revitalizing. 1. You take it one day at a time. And with each day that passes, you have much more strength, determination, self-control, mental and physical and emotional maturity. And this is so. You love everyone unconditionally, including yourself. Let it go now. The light from the sun is warm around you, and there is a feeling of peace and thanksgiving. Because you know that, as we all move through life, we often pick up hurts and fears, resentments directed to us by others and from us to others, and that there comes a time in our lives when we choose to be released from our own self-imposed isolation. There's an immutable physical, mental, and spiritual law that if there is a dependency on an outside source, there is a void within, a void that can only be filled from within, filled with self-love and self-approval and self-respect. And standing in the way of fulfilling this need within you are those judgments about events and experiences and people that you have attracted to your life. It is now time, in the quiet of your mind, to get released from your past. Therefore, at this moment, forming around you is a circle. And in the circle are those people who represent those events and experiences of your life that would benefit by your forgiveness of them and their forgiveness of you. Forgiveness is a quiet inner act. It only takes one person acting in a sincere manner to free many others, and to a large degree, each person in this circle is you. The words that will be spoken will be for you, and they will be by you, and they will be in the first person. You are to repeat them consciously and unconsciously with me, and you will be free. Your subconscious mind is now to move to accept these suggestions. Let me guide you to note that each person in the circle is attached to you by a rope, and the thickness of the rope indicates the need for relief and release. You will be set free from this time, from this place, from this moment. For rising now under your feet, moving to dissolve the ropes, and to transmute all the lower negative vibrations, is a violet flame. And the color violet stands for love in action. You can feel the flame beginning to burn and to surge, to translate and to transmute, as you mentally repeat these words with me. All that has offended me, I forgive. Within and without, I forgive. Things past, things present, things future, I forgive. I forgive everyone and everything that could possibly need forgiveness of the past, the present, and the future. I am free, and they are free too. All things are being cleared up between us, now and forever. But most of all, I forgive myself for first having set them in motion. I can feel the flame as it releases. I feel renewed, and my mind is working to set me free, and the universe desires for me to be free. For I am a perfect expression of universal love, and the love within me is transforming me, and the love is moving to fill my heart and my lips. My lips speak words of love, and I am being freed. I am being set free, and I speak words of praise for everyone. I know now that whatever I need, I only release, and in releasing it, I get it all back. The love is within me to fill my every need, and I know that I am being changed from within. I am being healed now. And the words are moving deeply into your subconscious mind. They are bringing about the orderly changes very rapidly. The events in your life, the changes are even now being made. Mentally repeat with me. In the first person, all thoughts of judgment, revenge, punishment, and evil are eliminated from my mind, body, and affairs now. I behold the love. I behold the mercy. I behold the goodness of a loving, supportive universe at work in my life now. All my relationships are in order. I let all people be happy. I am so happy and so filled with joy and happiness that I do not care whether I get even or not. I am free, and I let all people go free. As such, I am rich, well, and happy. Hear me, know me. There is no condemnation in me, for or against me. Pride, resentment, jealousy, hate, envy have no power over me. I do not accuse myself or others of guilt. No thoughts of selfishness can possess me. All the goodness of a loving, supportive universe is now flowing to me, and I use all that comes to me well. My mind, my body, my fears, my relationships are all in order. The violet flame has set me free, freed me from anger and fear and jealousy and resentment and hate. I am now free. I am now free from within, and I go deeper and deeper down. You feel much better about yourself now because you are really going to enjoy yourself. Like yourself and respect yourself much more. And now you will bring these suggestions and this feeling that you hold on to back look up with you as you return to consciousness of this room, and you will easily apply all that you've learned into your life. At the count of five, your eyes will be open, your mind will become clear and alert, your body well rested and relaxed. One, coming up now. Two, begin moving your fingers and toes. Begin breathing a little more deeply. Three, coming up knowing that you are a complete person with everything that you'll ever need. Four, coming up. Five, coming to a full awakening consciousness, active and alert, excited and enthusiastic about your life, feeling better than you've ever felt before.